Yeah, we're here because Jesus lives. We believe that with every fiber of our being. And if you're coming here today just to learn a little bit more about Jesus and you wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, I'm so glad you're here today. I hope to show you what you receive when you accept Jesus and believe in him and follow him. And if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope you'll be reminded of what you have received in this beautiful exchange. A couple of weeks ago on Monday morning, I spent the morning in a slum in Kampala, Uganda in East Africa. I was there with a small team from our church, and Pastor Alex of the Choice Baptist Church of Kampala invited me to go out with him and just share Jesus with some people along in this slum. The slum is, if you've never been to one, it's pretty unreal. Just simple one-room houses built up against one another, made of cinder blocks or scrap lumber or rusty old tin, just one after another. No electricity, no running water, narrow alleys between these little shanties instead of streets, open sewage running down between them. It's pretty rough. So we walked along into this slum. This is a picture of where we were going. The slum we were at was built along, was built along a railroad track. And just trash everywhere. But there were people there, people who matter to God. So this pastor had invited them to come, and I guess they wanted to come see what these Americans had to say. And so we came, and we sat down in a little narrow alley, and the sun was just beating down on one half of that group. We sat on these little wooden benches, and he said, okay, tell them about Jesus. And so I began to tell them a little bit about Jesus and share the gospel with them. But as I spoke, I just had this strong sense that what these people really need to hear is me praying for them. They need me to pray for them more than they need to hear my words right now. Some of them were already followers of Jesus Christ, members of Pastor Alex's church. Others were just there because they were curious and they wanted to hear what we would have to say about Jesus. And so I asked them, I said, hey, I just feel a need to pray for you. How can I pray for you? What do you need? Now that may sound real obvious these were the poorest of the poor. The poorest of the poor in an already poor city. People come into the cities from the rural areas in some of these developing countries, hoping for hope that they can find jobs and work there. And what they often find is just a slum and worse life than they had before. So I asked them, how can I pray for you? And very quickly, one of them said, he goes, I just need work. I need work so I can take care of my family. This beautiful young lady, she was pretty young, and she obviously was expecting, and she kind of had both hope and fear mixed in her eyes. And she said, pray for my baby. Pray that he'll be born healthy. Another man said, man, I've been sick. I just want to get well. Pray for me to get better, for me to be healed. But the one that just stuck out to me and it's kind of haunted me, this man, this just soft expression on his face, he looked at me and he said, I have never succeeded in anything. Nothing I've ever done has worked out well. I just want to succeed in something. And so I prayed for them. I prayed for them. I prayed for hope in place of fear, for health in place of sickness, for purpose in place of failure. And as I prayed for them and I spoke with them, I was thinking, different country, different culture, different circumstances, but really their prayer requests were pretty much the same as we would have here. Even with all our prosperity, it dawned on me at that point in that slum, even with all our prosperity back here in America, we are just as needy as those men and women sitting in that alley along the railroad tracks that morning in Kampala. All the money in the world cannot satisfy our deepest needs. We need an exchange. All of us do. So I ask you this morning, what kind of exchange do you need? What did you bring in here you would love just to leave behind when you walk back out the door? What baggage is weighing you down? What struggle do you have that you just like to exchange for something better? I want you to pick up the card that's on your seat. You may not have noticed it. You may be sitting on it. Pick up those cards, okay? I want you to look at those. And grab a pen from the seat back in front of you. If you're on the front row, sorry, you're out of luck, unless you can reach back and grab the pen before they get it. But what I want you to do with that, I want you to look at those words on the left side. On one side is a verse. Flip it over to the other side where it has a couple of columns of words on the left and a different column on the right. Find those columns. And I want you to look and see which word describes what you would like to leave behind. And if there's not a word there that describes that, then write something down. If you don't want to write it down because you might see someone looking over your shoulder, you think, take it home with you, okay? Take the card home with you. But I want you to look there, and what would you like to exchange? What would you like to leave behind? While you're doing that, if you have a Bible, I'd invite you to open it up to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 44. Matthew is in the New Testament of the Bible, so it's three-fourths of the way. I can hear those pages turn. It's about three-fourths of the way through. It's the first book of the New Testament. It's one of four gospels or biographies of Jesus' life, death, his resurrection, and the hope we have in him. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen, or you can open up the BPF app. And if you'd like a Bible, we'd love to give you one. We have three Bibles out in the foyer. You just go by and pick one up. I gave one away to someone after the first service. We have both English and Spanish translation in regular print and large print, or as a friend of mine just said, regular print and small print, depending on your age. We'd love to give you one. That'd be our Easter gift to you today. You know, Randy, just a few moments ago, talked about the amazing exchange Jesus made for us. Heaven for earth. Glory. He traded glory for humiliation. And he traded life for death. All because he had something better to offer us than we could ever imagine. Jesus described it this way. He told a couple of parables. Parables are short stories that Jesus kind of created just to make a point. So he gave an illustration of what it's like, what you get in this exchange, what Jesus has to give us. Matthew 13, 44. Jesus started off with this picture. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. So imagine that. Like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Jesus is saying that your joy to give up everything you have to follow Jesus is greater than hang on to what you have and miss him. Again, Jesus went on, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Actually, that's the exchange, the beautiful exchange Jesus offers you. Jesus exchanged life for death so that we could exchange our death for life. If you don't know Jesus, you're basically walking dead spiritually. And Jesus wants to quicken your soul into life and give you life and exchange that death, exchange all the baggage you may have just circled on that card and to give you real life. Whatever you have, good or bad, compared to what Jesus has to give you is just worthless and dead. The pearl of great value is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus talked about that a lot. The kingdom of heaven is you and me. It's the followers of Jesus Christ in relationship with him. If you don't know Jesus, you have just entered. You're right next door to the kingdom of heaven right now. The kingdom of heaven is made up of God's people experiencing real life with Jesus. Jesus is the life. He is the point of that whole kingdom. Jesus is that treasure hidden in a field, waiting for you to discover it this morning. Jesus is that one pearl of great value. You can exchange your troubles, your fears, your anxiety, your hopelessness, your inadequacy, your resentment, your anger, your self-anger and loathing for life in the kingdom of heaven, life in the family of God, life that is real, life that is rich and abundant, life with Jesus. Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm good. I don't need any of that. I don't see any of those words on there that describe me. Matter of fact, I don't need Jesus if he really even exists. Well, let me tell you, your word is there. Look back again. Pride. Pride. You think you're in control? If there's one thing I have learned in all my years, if there's one thing I learned when I had a brush with death 5 years ago, and I'm just so glad to be here still, and what I learned last November when my brother died in a plane crash. If there's one thing I've learned is you don't have control. I don't have control. We don't know what tomorrow, much less this afternoon, holds for us. I don't say that to scare you. I say that just to wake you up. We don't have control. We need Jesus because he has control. He is in control, and his control is good. And his control has our best interests in mind. He is good. Nothing you have is worth more than knowing Jesus. Nothing you have can give you what Jesus can give you. When Jesus died on the cross for you, here's what happened. Here's what he did. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for everything you've ever done wrong and everything you ever will do wrong, because you will and I will. We're not perfect. He paid it all. He paid for all of that. Then he rose from the dead to give you life, eternal life, real life, life that he described as abundant and full. A guy named Paul, who's an early church leader, he was a skeptic until he met Jesus. And then he became a pastor and church planter, and he planted a lot of churches around Asia and Europe. And he wrote a lot of letters to those. One of the letters he wrote was to a church in Corinth, Greece. Here's how he described this beautiful exchange. He said, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. I would encourage you to accept this beautiful exchange today if you've not already done so. Trade the darkness for light. Trade the spiritual death for life. Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people alive. You came here today, many of you searching for something that is real. Well, you found what you're looking for. It's this exchange. It's life in Jesus Christ. Open your eyes. Now, I encourage you to go all in like that merchant looking for fine pearls. Give it all up. Exchange all your hurts and your baggage and even what you consider good for this one great pearl, Jesus. The way you do that is to confess or admit that Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is real. He is Lord of your life. And receive this pearl of great value, the kingdom of heaven with all of its riches. I can help you receive that. I can help you cross over from death to life. Jesus said, whoever believes my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He has crossed over from death to life. We describe that as stepping over the line of faith. I can help you make that step this morning with a simple prayer. I'd ask all of you just to bow your heads for a moment. And let me lead you. If I'm talking to you, and you know if I am, it's clear to you right now. This is what you need. Just express a simple prayer. You can pray this from inside your heart without even speaking out loud, but let me give you the words, and you say them or say something close to them. Say, Jesus, I believe you're real. And I believe you died for me to pay for my sin. Thank you. Come into my life. Take control. Take away the baggage and exchange it for what you have for me. Whatever that is. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. In a moment, when I finish, I'm going to go out into the foyer by the Welcome Center. I'd like to talk to any of you who prayed that prayer with me just now. You can just slip out while we're singing. I'll go there and I want to talk with you. And I've got a devotional guide that we've created. It's a 14-day guide just to tell you about your next steps with God and what life in the kingdom of heaven is like. So you come see me in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to explain to all of you, both of those of you that just received this life and those of you that have already received it and those of you that are yet to, but you're still open to that. Let me show you what you receive, okay? What you receive when you surrender your life to Jesus, when you trade all you have for life in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you. It's a supernatural exchange, and that's what gives you life, as the Spirit comes inside and lives in your soul. Your body actually becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a walking temple. He begins to change you from the inside out. If you still have your Bible open, flip on over to the right to another letter that this guy named Paul wrote, this pastor named Paul that he wrote to a church in Galatia. We're going to go to chapter 5, verse 16. This change that he begins to make in you through the Holy Spirit, I mean, you in an instant have exchanged death for life. But then there's this process of becoming more like Jesus, that this exchange begins to push out all the baggage and push in all this goodness that Jesus has for you. It's a slow and steady process where the Holy Spirit helps you to learn how to live. As you read the Bible, this is God's word, especially the New Testament of it, is really where you want to start, talking about what Jesus has to say and do in your life. As you do that, as you pray will help you learn how to pray. Praying is just using the same words, talking the same way you talk, but talk to Jesus. And the way you listen to him, sometimes he speaks to you in just kind of ways that you just know it's him. And the best way he speaks to you, though, is as you read the Bible. It's God's word to you. And another way that, we learn and we grow in this process is by hanging out with other Christians. That's why you need the church. And the church needs you. We together, we grow together, we become more like Christ. And we enlarge the kingdom of heaven as more and more people step over the line of faith and join us. And we share that good news about Jesus with more and more people. That's how this change works in your life. It's called walking by the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:16. Paul said to this church in Galatia, he said, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Those desires of the flesh, they create all the problems that you saw in that card that you circled or that you wrote down or you're going to write down when you take it home and nobody's looking, and that's okay. But those desires of the flesh will create all the problems for us. Look at verse 19. It describes those desires of the flesh. The acts of the flesh, Paul says, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. But guys, in this beautiful exchange, you trade all these things, and more importantly, all the heartache that they bring for a much better life. You receive, along with the Holy Spirit, you receive what Paul goes on to describe as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the result of walking by the Spirit. Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Another word for forbearance is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That'd be nice, huh? Get your filter back. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, you can't legislate this. You can't write down these rules in a book and say, hey, put this on, put on these attitudes. No. Nothing could produce that kind of fruit in your life consistently other than the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And we can't produce these qualities on our own. Jesus produces them in us as we walk by his Spirit. And on top of that, folks, it's not a group of fruits like you get one or two of them. They're not the spiritual gifts. This is fruit of the, it says, he said the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of, he said the fruit of the Spirit is, not fruits are. It's one thing, you get all of them. They all begin to play out in your life as you develop your faith in Jesus. And look back at that card again that you had. Look on the right side of that card. You see those left columns, a couple of words, maybe you circle, but look on the right and see what you get in exchange. This is what he gives you in exchange. Now, you will get all of them as you grow, but there's probably one or two that you need the most right now, that you want to concentrate on, that you want to ask Spirit to give you, to really enlarge in your life. Circle that or those. By the way, as I said, you get them all, but they come in slowly. They slowly. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you're saying, I don't have this. This doesn't describe my life. Well, it's because you're not walking by the Spirit. And again, the way you walk by the Spirit is you need to be reading the Bible, engaging the Bible. You need to be praying, asking God to help, because it's hard at times. You need to talk to other Christ followers and say, how do you do this, man? This is escaping me. What's the idea here? And together, you can grow and help one another. Galatians continues this idea of walking by the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires is not an easy thing. It's a daily process. Sometimes it's a painful battle. But you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you to slay those desires of the flesh as you walk by the Spirit. What I'd encourage you, if like you came to faith a year or two ago, look back over the last couple of years. How have you changed? How is it different? You'd be amazed and what's been happening in you slowly and what will continue to happen in your life. And that's the beautiful exchange. We're set free from these desires of the flesh as we receive daily the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are here week after week. We'll be here next week for you. We'll be here the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. We're here to help you learn how to walk by the Spirit. And we have small groups of folks that you can get together with that meet on weeknights. And you can be with them. We'd love to help connect you with one of them. Where you can talk to people. When I'm standing up here talking to you, I'm 6 feet above contradiction. But when you're in a small group, you can say, "Do y'all really buy what he said Sunday? What do you think he meant?" And then you can talk. That's how you grow, mostly, with other Christ followers, opening the Bible. So we want you to receive this beautiful exchange. We want to help you walk by the Spirit and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And so here's my charge and offer to you today. Exchange death for life. Exchange death for life. Don't stay the way you are. Come as you are, but don't be satisfied to stay that way. Let Jesus change you from the inside out. Receive the fruit of the Spirit. Walk with us as we walk together with the Spirit. You can do this because you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The band is going to come out, and in just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to celebrate what Jesus is doing in our lives. We're celebrating Easter and all that means to us. This is our Christian holiday, more than Christmas, more than anything else. This is what describes the church. Easter, Jesus coming back to life. As I said earlier, I'm going to walk out into the foyer by the Welcome Center. If you prayed that prayer a few moments ago, I'd encourage you to come out and talk with me. There's not going to be many people out there. We can talk and hear one another. And let me give you that little 14-day guide and help you as you begin to exchange the old for the new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Let's stand and sing.